Hour number three, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5. The game, Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Thursday morning. Porth back to nodding his head, bobbing his head, doing all the things that he does when this music comes on. It's a beautiful sight.
Love the Foo Fighters.
Yeah. Big Foo Fighters fan. Yep. One of the biggest Foo Fighters fans I know.
Love the Foo Fighters. Haven't seen them live. Big problem.
You have not seen the Foo Fighters live?
I've wanted to. In fact, I think there was a show here. It just didn't work out. Yeah, no, it's a problem. It is. It's a problem in my life. I've never seen Pearl Jam live either, which is, and that was, of course, in the plans
for
recently.
For like 10 years, it was number one on the bucket list. And then now I've seen the Foo Fighters like three times in the last 5 years, including my brother and I going to Wrigley to see the Foo Fighters.
That would be awesome.
It was amazing.
Was that Halloween show here? I've heard
it was like
people
a pop-up
talk about
show.
This.
Like two days before it happened, they were like, we're doing a show at the Ryman.
At Halloween?
Yep.
And you went to that?
No. The Preds had a game that night, and I was producing that game.
Mm. Duty calls.
Yep. They played until like 2 a.m.
Jeez. See, that'd be so cool. Someday. It's on the bucket list here, too.
Porth says that Dave Grohl's best musician ever.
Of our generation.
Of our generation. What do you think about that?
I mean, it's a pretty good career, you know.
It's pretty good.
You're drumming for Nirvana and all that he's done with that band. He does it all, right? So, I mean, I don't immediately have a problem with that.
I came back and threw JT right back in his face.
Yeah.
I love me some JT.
My response
I don't know if
to
he's
that,
the greatest musician.
He's a great entertainer.
He's great.
He's a great entertainer.
I responded to him saying greatest entertainer of the generation, but
yeah.
Musician?
Okay.
I mean, Dave Grohl.
I can accept that.
Does JT play an instrument?
He plays like all kinds of instruments.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just know his pop songs, and he's good on Saturday Night Live. He was good on Disney, apparently.
Yeah. There's more depth to Justin Timberlake than that. Maybe one day, partial owner of Nashville baseball team.
That's right. JT and Dolly Parton teaming up?
You think anybody has contacted Dolly Parton about the baseball team since we made that claim yesterday?
I mean, I hope it happened way before that.
I would hope so, too. That'd be my first call if I'm in Tennessee. Yeah, Dolly, won't you be a part of this? Anything she does turns into gold.
Yep. Anything you do in this state, if you need money or partnership or
maybe
you,
that's
you,
the
you
next
go to Dolly
step.
Parton, right?
Maybe that's the next step for Tennessee football. Get Dolly Parton involved. Get the boosters out of the way. Get Dolly Parton involved in decision making. Maybe this program starts to come back.
Is Dolly a known like Vols fan? Like
not that I'm aware of.
I mean, she's got to be though, right?
She probably
I mean,
is
Tennessee.
Though. Yeah. And you're pretty close.
Yeah. That's a good idea. Just put her in charge of everything.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Heidi from Dixon text in, never heard of Food Fighters.
Oh, all right. Is it Jared? Jared wouldn't come up with something that funny. Jared wouldn't be that funny. All right. I actually... Heidi, I now don't believe you're a Stillman Burner account. That was awesome.
That was too funny for Jared.
Food Fighters.
Food Fighters. Do you think that's how they got the name? They just took the D off of Food Fighters?
I'm sure there's a way to Google that. I don't know what the name
Dave Grohl means. Said at the end of a Food Fighters documentary that it was just some random name, and he wishes all this time that it was something different.
Really?
He thinks it's the dumbest band name ever.
Well, it gave us Food Fighters, so that's good.
It is kind of dumb when you think about it. I don't remember. Like, I'm trying to think back to when they first formed, you know? What was the reaction to Foo Fighters?
Mm. Well, it was just him when they first formed.
Yeah.
The first album, he plays every instrument.
At the same time. He's like the one-man band.
Yeah.
And that's which album?
We don't know the names of albums.
That's
like
not the,
you col- back
the color
in the
and the shape.
No, that's their first with actual band members.
Okay, so
of
he
Big
had
Roll.
One before that.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Has
Learning
This Is
so
a Call.
Much.
This
okay.
Is a Call is the main song on
okay.
that one.
Yep, yep. Yeah. All right.
Our friend Bob tweets in, says, no baseball in all capital letters. Bob, not a big fan of baseball coming to town, apparently.
Bob's big anti-baseball.
Really?
Oh, yeah. We had the discussion yesterday.
Okay.
Well, his point is, you know, he questions whether it'll be supported. He talked about the sounds, of course, but also will it be supported, which I think is a fair question, but why do you hate? Like, if it's here, you're mad?
I don't know.
I mean, you don't have to go or spend money, but I mean, if a Major League Baseball team is here as a sports fan, if there's a Major League Baseball team in Nashville, you're mad about it? Why? Why, Bob?
Why are you mad, Bob?
Why, Bob? Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Caleb texts in, good morning, guys. Have we heard anything on an NHL restart? And the new jerseys for the Preds look good. Target date still January 1st. I know the NHLPA is meeting right now. The NHL, I think there's some salary discussions that they're trying to get taken care of that are interesting right now. The NHLPA already agreed to something back in June. And I would doubt very seriously that they agree to something else, but we'll see.
They're trying to cut it down. What percent? Another what percent? Is it 7.5?
Yeah,
did I see that?
I think I saw
7.5. Yeah.
So I don't think it's going to work.
And that's a plus on the – what is the overall reaction to the Preds' reverse retro? Seems pretty positive.
I think pretty positive. Yeah, the overall reaction's been good. Yeah. I mean, look, you're never going to release a jersey where everybody's like, yeah, that's great.
Unless it's the Winter Classic jersey.
But I know people didn't like that.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, I heard nothing but total praise for that one. And as well it should have been.
Oh, I agree. I thought that Winter Classic jersey was awesome. I had a couple friends that hated it. And I was like, really? I think it looks great.
Yeah.
I think
you need to get better friends.
I agree.
Yeah,
I do.
Yeah, drop those friends.
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris texts in, Dolly Parton appreciation text. I read books to my kids every night before bed from her collection that she sent them. Awesome lady with her book program. Sorry, Bob. Bring on the baseball. I'm all for it. I've legitimately never met a person that doesn't like Dolly Parton.
Yeah. We got the Dolly Parton license plate, which contributes to that reading thing,
yeah.
Which I the initiative.
Yeah, that's the word you were searching for.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, no, everybody loves Dolly Parton.
Seriously, maybe Tennessee needs to look into this. She can become a booster. Nate texted in on the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, Dolly Parton for Vols AD. That leads me right into what happened yesterday. The news coming out of Philip Fulmer. Good job, Nate.
Thanks, Nate.
Nice radio segue, Nate. Vols announced, or Blake Topmeyer, the Knoxville News Sentinel, announced that Philip Fulmer signs an extension. Now, he signed this back in May. So it didn't come out in May that Fulmer had signed a contract extension as AD of the Vols that keeps him there through 2023. The news coming out yesterday, and to your point, Joe, earlier in the show, met with a little bit of negative reaction on Twitter, just giving the timing of the release, given everything that the Volunteer fan base has seen this year, both on the field, what happened with the assistant coaches over the weekend, not taking the pay cuts. You've got Jeremy Pruitt signing a contract extension before the season anyway. And now news coming out, Fulmer has signed an extension as well. Met with some negative reaction by Vol Twitter yesterday.
Yeah. To me, it's if there was a raise tied to it, then I think there'd be certainly more reason.
Which there's not, by the way.
There's not. So, I mean, it's really just the Vols saying they want Fulmer to be there longer, which that's not a reason to get upset to me. But I think what happens is, first of all, it comes right after all the stuff with the assistant coaches not agreeing to the pay cut. So it's another thing that looks like, oh, here's Tennessee doing something, irresponsible or, whatever. I mean, anything right now, I think the way things are going this season has a chance to be taken negatively. This is also like inside baseball on the reporting of this. I can tell you what happened here is Blake Topmeyer, as a good reporter does covering a college beat, used the Freedom of Information Act and got some stuff back. And so he gets these things and he's, reporting them out the same week.
Right.
But it just times out to just continue to tick off Tennessee fans. Even though really, I don't think there's anything to get mad about since there's no raise. Unless you just want Fulmer out. But you can get mad about that without an extension, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
Are people like Vol fandom approval rating of Philip Fulmer as AD right at this moment, percentage of approval?
Oh, well, a lot of it is tied to Jeremy Pruitt directly.
Right.
So I think there's a balance there with Philip Fulmer. I think
he's a legend.
A lot of people love Philip Fulmer. There is at least a sizable portion of the fan base that believes they never should have fired him to begin with, and that's what got him into all this mess. I don't necessarily subscribe to that theory, but there is a fan base or a portion of the fan base that thinks that.
How big is that?
Oh, I'd say 20%.
And what was the percentage in 2007?
Not high.
No.
Yeah, not very high at all. Revisionist history.
That's totally revisionist history.
But you balance what the legend of Philip Fulmer is at Tennessee and what's going on right now with Jeremy Pruitt, I would still say 60, 65% of Tennessee fans, they're all in on Philip Fulmer.
Okay.
would be my guess.
Yeah.
Is that high to you, you think?
No, I think it sounds about right. But yeah, look, an AD, for the most part, if he was just an AD, if this was John Curry or whoever, you know, Dave Hart, just an AD who had made this football hire and it was going like this, it would probably be less than that. But, yeah, I think the track record, Philip Fulmer, builds in a certain percentage of people who are going to want him to stay around.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Matt texts in, as a UT alum, keep Pruitt and Fulmer for stability. That goes back to a discussion we had earlier in the show about stability, Joe, and it's kind of that battle of, all right, you don't want to be as unstable and as volatile at times as this Vol football program has been over the last 12, 13 years with the turnover from Lane Kiffin to Derek Dooley to Butch Jones, now to Jeremy Pruitt, and the disaster of a coaching search we saw the last time around. It's definitely been unstable, and that's definitely not the way to build a program. But I also think you can go too far the other way and remain try to get stable for the sake of just being stable and hire the wrong guy. And like I said, I've been out on Jeremy Pruitt since the Arkansas game. I don't think he's the guy. Also don't think he's going to get fired this year. But I do think, you know, keeping him around just for the sake of stability, you got to have a better reason than that to keep a guy around. He's got to be able to coach.
Yeah, it's tough. It's a very tough spot because if the Vols keep doing this and they're going to just start over every three years, they're not going to come close to what people want them to be. But if you know you have the wrong guy, then there's no reason to – you don't do it for the sake of stability. I think some Vols fans right now think that Hugh Freeze is there and you could get him, and so you act now to get him. And if you don't act now and it's just like next year is just terrible year and by the end of the year, whatever, what are they, 5-7 or whatever, and it's like clearly it's been 4 years – I mean, I still think some people could say, well, he should get five, but, I mean, let's be real about college football anymore. A lot of people don't get five. If it's bad next year and you're like, okay, you got to move on from him, then are you going to be in the same spot? Which is, I think, one of the most depressing things about this for Tennessee fans is all of the A, B, C, D choices for the last few searches have not wanted to come to Tennessee.
Yeah.
So if you're in are you in a situation again where you have to take a chance on a coach? Tennessee should be able to hire a proven good head football coach to be its head football coach. The last search went sideways and you brought in a new AD, and so you were in a bad spot. But that's, I think, the worry for Vols fans is, you know, Hugh Freeze, you can get him now, or else we're going to go back to this cycle of we're getting our eighth choice.
Which leads to, I think, a huge overinflation of what Hugh Freeze is.
I agree. Now, I do think he's a proven coach. He's a good coach. But is he this white whale that some people think he is?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
But you could make a good argument he's better than what they have right now. And do you take that if you're Tennessee? I don't know.
I'm sure if it was just seamless, like, hey, just swap him in, most fans would say, okay, we'll do it right now. But it's not that simple. Right. And, of course, there's a huge cost to doing it.
When we come back, Jeremy Pruitt made some comments yesterday that sent Vols fans into a panic. We'll discuss what they were on the other side of the break. But first, make sure this Saturday you're tuning in to catch the college football game of the week on 102.5 The Game, presented by Gary Force Acura. This Saturday's game, a Big 12 matchup as Oklahoma State faces in-state rival Oklahoma. Kickoff is at 6:30 p.m. on ESPN 102.5 The Game. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Jolene, 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 Jolene. I'm begging.
Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Ryan Ford leading us back in with a little Dolly Parton.
My daughter's maybe still her favorite song of all time, but certainly for a few years of her life, absolutely obsessed with that song.
I mean, why wouldn't you be?
Yeah, great, great tune. And is that country?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Well, then I like.
Of course it is.
I like some country.
There you go.
I feel like Dolly Parton.
Did you just ask if Dolly Parton was country?
Well, I'm saying that song.
what would it be?
Yeah. Well, I honestly think her music is very much
it transcends
pop music.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Sure.
So some of her best songs, hit songs, to me, I think sound more like pop than they do like what people think of as country. But if that's country, I like country.
Okay. All right. We established day by day, Joe Rexroad closer and closer to being a big-time country music fan.
Apparently. Yeah. I didn't even know. I didn't realize.
Joe, I can assure you that the gap is closing.
Oh, yes.
The gap is closing on you becoming a country music fan.
Oh, thank goodness.
Speaking of Jeremy Pruitt, he had some comments yesterday that sent Tennessee fans just about into panic mode. And it was very funny to watch. I was one of those fans that was just set back. I like to watch disaster take place sometimes and just, as they say in The Dark Knight, sit back and watch the world burn. That's what I did yesterday on Twitter. Jeremy Pruitt yesterday talking about the 2021 season and maybe seniors coming back for that season said, quote, "All our guys have the opportunity and we would love to have them all back. It's a unique circumstance." Talking about, of course, how this year of eligibility doesn't count. And, you know, seniors can come back and play next year if they want to for this Vols football program, for any football program out there. And, of course, that leads to Jarrett Garantano. Could he come back and be the quarterback again for the Vols next season? Joe, as you look ahead to 2021 for Tennessee at the quarterback position, what do you think the chances are that Jarrett Garantano comes back and starts a game for them next year?
Yeah.
How do you think that'll go over?
Yeah, if Jeremy Pruitt just would have said most. Just say most. Some. And when you, as soon as he says all, what do people immediately think about?
Number two.
Poor Garantano. I mean, really.
I really did feel bad for him yesterday.
I got to look. Like, you got to step back sometimes and be like, my gosh, who deserves this crap? I mean, it goes with the territory because, let's face it, SEC football is like being in the NFL.
Pretty much.
I mean, college sports is pro sports.
It just means more.
It does.
It does mean more. And it means more crap for someone like Garantano than most kids his age should have to take. But I would not think he would want to come back. Am I wrong?
I don't know, man. I wouldn't think so, but I wouldn't think he'd want to like put up with as much as he's put up with so far anyway.
I mean, to me, look, the hope for Garantano, the realistic hope for him is that he can find a way to hold a clipboard somewhere in the NFL, and I think that's a long shot on its own. I really do. Now, it's possible, but I think that'll be tough. I guess if you're him, you could say, no, but next year I'm going to put it all together and prove it to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But I honestly, I mean, I have to think that everybody on, well, most on Jeremy Pruitt's staff also are looking at this like Harrison Bailey has got to be the focal point moving forward here, right? Because I think you've seen Garantano is pretty much what he is at this point.
Yes, but we've known that, and yet he still continues to start games for this team.
Because he's better than the guys behind him.
I know, but I guess my point is, what happens if he comes back and he's still better? Like, he's still the starting quarterback next year for Tennessee. Like, to me, I don't even care if he's better. Like, if you go into training camp next year, if you're the Vols, and Garantano is clearly the best quarterback there for you, if you're Jeremy Pruitt, you can't start him. Like, there's no way you could start him and this fan base not lose it. Especially if they end up 3-7 this year, or, God forbid, 2-8 this year. You can't. Like, even if he comes back, which I think there's a chance he will, you cannot start him.
I think there's a very, very slim chance that he would come back. You know, I don't even know. Does he have his degree? Is he working
on a graduate
degree?
He's already a fifth-year senior.
He's a fifth-year senior. He wants to have a shot at pro football. If you're him, you can't realistically think, one, that there's going to be some huge turnaround in your game or whatever that's going to make you a more attractive player to NFL scouts. Obviously, he was hoping to have a good senior season and put himself in some kind of position, but you can't be realistically thinking it will. Also, you have to realistically look at Harrison Bailey and say, that guy could overtake me. And I think if you're the Vols coaching staff, again, you have to be like, we have to pour the resources, the focus, the reps into Harrison Bailey next year. You have to. That is your only chance, to me, of setting yourself up long-term, you want to win games, but to show that you can bring along another and better quarterback.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texter that says, how mad would Tennessee fans be if they ran Garantano off for next year and he went to like Vanderbilt or South Carolina and came back and just whooped Tennessee?
That'd be funny.
I don't know.
It wouldn't be funny to Tennessee fans. I get it. Yeah.
You talk about it, imagine Jeremy Pruitt's that. Still here and that happens, he would be fired.
He'd just be fired that day, like on the spot.
There would be like riots outside. Yeah. He'd be fired.
I hadn't thought about the Garantano just trying to hang around college football somewhere else. You could do it if you want. But again, it's like, I mean, I guess, look.
What if he just loves playing football?
Well, right, but so go try to play in the NFL.
He's not an NFL quarterback. Surely he's got to have some level of self-awareness that he's not an NFL quarterback.
I was just going to say, if you're looking for self-awareness from college quarterbacks and college quarterbacks' parents and things like that, it's not the best place to find it, okay? And I could definitely see Garantano thinking, you know what, if I was in a different offense – with better coordinator, with a better system, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, I could really show what I have. Uh-huh. I know, like, you're smiling and laughing, but, you know, look, anybody who gets to this level, and it's a hard level to get to,
sure,
has confidence in themselves. And there's a lot of, I think, especially quarterbacks. Man, I have talked to a lot of quarterback dads over the years, and boy, it's an interesting crew, okay? There is not a lot of – well, I shouldn't say there's not a lot of. There are, in some cases, serious gaps in reality.
Yes.
In terms of, no, if this happened, he'd be the number one pick in the draft. So, I don't know. I could see maybe the idea of I can go somewhere else and really prove it to everybody and stick it to him. But who would want him too? That's the other thing. I think anyone looking at him objectively is like he's limited and sometimes he makes these mistakes that just kill you.
Yeah. Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris text in, JG as an XFL backup. What do you think about that?
Yeah, probably. I mean, probably something like that.
Won't be until spring of 2022, though.
Yeah, but he can come back and play college football next year, then go play
this
in spring.
This is true. Man, maybe make himself an XFL starter. Hey, if you can play this game and get paid for it, why wouldn't you want to do that as long as you could possibly do it?
The back of his jersey could say, Vol Twitter hates me, instead of he hate me.
It got my mind rolling yesterday of what happens if he comes back. Do we think Jeremy Pruitt is truthful that all seniors, come on back? We want all of them back. It's a unique opportunity.
No. It's probably the right thing to say, but, I mean, seriously, just say most. I mean, we'd like a few of these guys back. I have seven in mind. Everyone else, bye. Wouldn't it be great?
Let's go back to the text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says, if Garantano goes somewhere else, I would expect him to beat the Vols. It's only fitting that so Tennessee. That would be a very Tennessee thing, is Garantano goes to be the starting quarterback at, I don't know.
Mississippi State.
Missouri.
What if Mike Leach takes him and he throws for like 600 against the Vols?
Oh, man.
Or against LSU. Yeah. Like Costello did.
Yeah. Man. Can you imagine?
I mean,
Felipe Franks ended up at Arkansas. It didn't quite go so well for him in his return to Florida the other day.
Did
you see them boo him?
Why?
How dare you break your leg?
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, what
you're
are you
not
doing
as good
for?
As our quarterback now, so boo. Yeah. Really? Why?
Florida fans.
Like, did he say something about Florida?
I don't think so.
On his way out or something?
I don't think so.
Idiots.
He just lost his job because he suffered a gruesome injury.
What the hell is wrong with people?
I don't know, man. When we come back, we'll dive into the college football playoffs. Some interesting comments made yesterday from former Ravens tight end Dennis Pitta. Where did BYU and Cincinnati fit into this mix of the college football playoff discussion, and could they take matters into their own hands? We'll talk about that next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. For the first time ever, Nashville will host an MLS playoff game. Tomorrow night, Nashville SC will face Inter Miami CF at Nissan Stadium at 8 p.m. for the Eastern Conference play-in match. Catch all the action on ESPN 102.5 The Game and ESPN 94.9, starting with pregame coverage at 7:45 p.m. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ben texts in, and this goes back to a discussion we were having about Fulmer and the Vols earlier. Myself included, millions of people have gotten a raise at their jobs since March. I just don't understand why it's our business what they pay their employees. I understand public record and freedom of information, but why do we care what they pay their employees? Nobody threw an outrage when people at Lowe's got a $2 an hour raise this year.
Okay. Well, this is the point here is that these are people who make a ton of money. And yes, they are public employees. They make a ton of money coaching football. And there are people in these athletic departments who are losing their jobs. There are sports that are being cut. I'm going to again refer to the Philip Fulmer quote about the guys who did take the pay cuts. He said that they helped save jobs. So why do we care? Well, I think it's incredibly selfish and tone deaf to not take the pay cut. I mean, you can disagree with me, but this idea that like we should have no comment or no thought about that, I think is absolutely ridiculous. And I do have thoughts on it, and I get pissed off every time I start talking about it. I think I can't believe anybody would sit there and say, "Oh, who cares?" I mean, these are people. People's jobs are lost, and a lot of people have had pay cuts forced on them, have been furloughed, have been laid off. We all know this in this time of the world, okay? And so when you're a football coach making $1.6 million and your little pay cut you take could possibly save three jobs and you don't do it, how anyone wouldn't be outraged by that, I have no idea.
Agreed. And it's a horrible look. And look, we've talked about it a lot here on the show. I would expect that here in this next week or so, that's probably going to change. You heard Jeremy Pruitt talk about it on Monday at his press conference saying the story on that's not yet being done written at this point. So it's probably going to change. I would imagine there's going to be conversations had. And Jim Chaney and these other assistant coaches, my guess would be probably end up taking this pay cut. But even if that's the case, I mean, the PR damage already done at this point. It's just a horrible look.
Yeah, and again, it's got to be separated from the football. A lot of people, I think, are more mad about it because of the football, because Jim Chaney's had a bad year as OC. Try to separate it from the football. I'm very interested to see, like, when does he talk again?
Yeah.
And what does he say? Because there's no justification for this. It'll be very interesting. Does he talk again while he's a coach at Tennessee? I don't know.
When's the last time he talked?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, already Pruitt is very much he tries to follow a lot of the Saban stuff, some of the terrible Saban stuff, like never letting his assistants talk.
Right.
Yeah, probably won't anytime soon.
Maybe when he's not the offensive coordinator next year. Maybe.
Yeah, and is he going to be, will he be somewhere else where coaches are made available? I don't know.
Let's talk about the college football playoff, because we had Dennis Pitta on yesterday, former Ravens tight end, and obviously a BYU legend. He was awesome there. BYU 8-0 so far on the season. Poor Cincinnati Bearcats, his beloved Cincinnati Bearcats, 7-0 on the season. And we've talked about, 2020, it's a strange year. Weird things have happened. If there's ever a year where one of those non-Power 5 teams maybe gets a crack at it in the college football playoff, maybe it should be this year. But you start going through BYU's schedule and Cincinnati's schedule as well to a degree. I mean, the impressive strength of schedule matchups just aren't there. And I wonder if, especially in BYU's case, where you're kind of just putting together a schedule that's out in front of you anyway, and you're trying to do the best you can do being an independent, basically, at this point with BYU. The Pac-12 announced yesterday that they're going to allow some non-conference games if that's the route they choose to go. If I'm BYU, I'm calling up Oregon, like, immediately. And being like, hey, do y'all want to play? Because to me, like, BYU or Cincinnati, if they're going to get in the college football playoff, it's going to take beating a team like Oregon or maybe BYU and Cincinnati playing each other, beating a team that's that high of a caliber to even really get serious consideration because they look great right now. Cincinnati steamrolled everybody. BYU steamrolled everybody. But when you don't have the strength of schedule that matches up with some of these other teams in the country, it's just really difficult to justify putting them in there. And to me, the only chance they have is to adapt to their schedule right now. And if I'm BYU, like I said, the first call I'm making yesterday is to Oregon saying, hey, y'all want to play? Let's do this.
Yeah, that would be something that makes sense as soon as the Pac-12 allows it. One thing we've learned in this whole thing is that you actually don't have to have like 5 years before the game that you schedule, right?
Yeah.
Like, they've scheduled to play, Miami, Notre Dame, 2028, you know.
Yeah.
And these schedules are built out. I mean, this year we've seen just, hey, you want to play this week?
Think about MTSU, like how they started their season. They just all of a sudden got like a 2 week notice. Hey, you're playing Army. By the way, they run the option. Good luck.
Yeah. Yeah, from a coaching standpoint, you can't have – I mean, that can't be much worse than that, you know. Here you go. Good luck with Army. But, yeah, they're, you know, scrambling and found a way to get a game in and get a game in here and there. So if that can happen and there is no restrictions on it, I agree with Oregon BYU. I mean, look, in college basketball, we've gone to these bracket busters during the season, which I think are great, and it's pitting some of these mid-majors that don't get enough good games – against each other for another bump on the resume and to sort of help sort themselves out against each other. And, I mean, Cincinnati, BYU, I'm trying to look right here. I mean, we could have the first football bracket buster. You know, Cincinnati, BYU, find the game, do it wherever, either place, neutral site, whatever. If one of the teams won that game and looked really impressive doing it, given we don't know exactly what all is, it may not matter. You know, that fourth spot could just be locked up by Notre Dame or whatever. But that gives that team, I think, a much stronger chance of being considered to get into the playoffs. So why wouldn't you do that if you're not restricted from doing it?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a great point. And you look at Cincinnati's schedule right now. I mean, they've got UCF coming up on Saturday. They're at Temple, at Tulsa. They're done Friday, December 4th. Why not play the next Friday, next Saturday?
December 12th.
BYU. Yeah. I make that call right now.
Does BYU play on December 12th?
I don't know. Let me look.
Now, wait a minute now. Is there not an American championship game, though?
Is there?
Right? Wouldn't that be the next Saturday?
Yeah, that would be.
Yeah.
Well, there goes that.
Well, December 19th.
So then December 19th. If there's still games going on December 19th.
Yeah.
Play them. Why not?
I mean, if you know, you've scheduled.
What you got to lose?
So what would happen is they would schedule it, and then, like, they'd get upset in the, you know, the whatever.
Right?
One of them would, like, get upset along the way and screw it up. But I don't care. Schedule it now. December 19th. These two teams are going to play. I mean, play, again, either place, go play it. Go play in Indy where they have the NCAA tournament. Whatever. I would tune into that game. I'd love to watch that game. Zach Wilson.
Mm-hmm. You know, legitimate Heisman contender, by the way. Like, he's probably not going to win, but I think he should be a finalist.
Yeah, I think he's got a chance to be a finalist. But
there'd be a ton of hype in the college football world for that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the same day as the SEC championship and all the other conference championships, you'd have basically the
that may be the game of the day
championship. It probably would be.
Like,
yeah.
Do we have confidence Alabama, Florida will be close?
Well, I have some hope. I have some hope for Florida to just keep
score
up
with
on
them.
The scoreboard. But, yeah, you know, what's is that going to end up 10, 17-point game probably for Alabama?
Probably so.
If the teams play what they are. And, yeah, could Notre Dame give Clemson another game? Maybe. But maybe that could get ugly too. You're right. This could steal the day. So you got BYU, San Diego State on the 12th.
You're still not buying Notre Dame's all that good, are you?
Well, I feel better about Notre Dame after watching them last week because Boston College is not bad, and I do like Ian Book is a guy I've always thought he's just not very good. He's figured it out. But Ian Book is an example of when you have good coaching, what can happen with a veteran quarterback who has deficiencies. You work on them and improve them. And he is a guy who now doesn't just run around like a chicken with his head cut off when pass rush affects him. He extends plays and makes big-time throws. So I think Notre Dame is pretty good. They got a lot of talent.
They do have a lot of talent. And I'll be honest, the Clemson game, even without Trevor Lawrence, their ability to score on that defense really showed me something in that game. I thought even without Trevor Lawrence in there, I mean, Uiagalelei played fine in that game. They put up 40 points. But Notre Dame's offense, if they're going to play like that, they absolutely belong in the playoff.
They do. Also, you could look at that and say, Clemson.
Yeah.
All this talent and everything, but what is that defense? I mean, Boston College went in there in their stadium and really pushed them. So, who knows? But that's the thing. If that's a close game, then that probably doesn't bode well for anybody trying to get that fourth spot, right?
Yeah.
But, hey, BYU-Cincinnati, please do it.
When we come back, a pretty horrible story coming out of LSU earlier this week. We'll get into that next. Also have Trent Dilfer, Lipscomb Academy head coach, former NFL quarterback, joining us to begin the 9 o'clock hour. All of that coming up here on Robbie and Rex Road. But make sure week 11 of your favorite game, Silly Underdog Picks, starts today. And make sure you're tuned in for that. Always fun with Silly Underdog Picks. You make your picks of the three college or pro football underdogs that you think will win before the college football games begin on Saturday. This week, the weekly winner will receive a Party Foul gift card. Just hit up thegamenashville.com or the ESPN The Game Nashville mobile app and sign up to make your picks today. We'll be right back. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Tune into this weekend's NFL Game of the Week on 102.5 The Game, brought to you by Red Spirits and Wine in Bellevue and Gary Force Acura. This Sunday's NFL Game of the Week, the Green Bay Packers taking on the Indianapolis Colts. Big Titans implications in that game in the AFC South. Coverage begins at 3 p.m. with a 3:25 p.m. kickoff, so make sure you're tuned in for that. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you. And Joe, a really ugly story earlier this week coming out regarding LSU, its football program, and a report from USA Today basically alleging that several LSU officials had knowledge of sexual assault allegations made against former running back Darius Geis, as well as other former football players involved in the program, and either ignored those complaints or denied the victims' requests for protection. And the story done by USA Today goes into great detail of just some of the problems that have been around that LSU university and football program regarding sexual assault allegations in the last 5 to 6 years, really, is what the piece really focused in on. Really, really ugly stuff, and that has been a story that swept over college football and the talking point of the landscape of the nation all week long here, just regarding LSU. Just really, really ugly stuff in that report by USA Today.
Yeah, you know, Kenny Jacoby, Nancy Armour, Jessica Luther did a really good job with it. It's a terrible story. There's a lot of focus on Ed Orgeron here, which I'm not saying Ed Orgeron should be dismissed from responsibility, but it is bigger than him. I think people focus on the football coach sometimes with these things. I mean, this is the institution. This is a fundamental mishandling of some of these things. And the Darius Geis aspect of it is sort of the headline, because obviously he's had a lot of issues and was dismissed. You know, the Washington football team, he's had a lot of domestic assault charges, things like that. I mean, he's a troubled guy who's gotten into a lot of situations. But there's a lot more to it, too. Former wide receiver Drake Davis.
Yep.
You know, it was alleged that he punched a woman, an LSU tennis player, in the stomach, and the tennis coach didn't report the assault. And so the report says that, quote, LSU sat on the information for months while Davis continued to assault and strangle her. So, again, it's like there's a common thread here, and there's a lot of – we've seen – a lot of situations, not exactly the same, but you obviously saw with Penn State, you know, Michigan State, something I know very well, the Larry Nassar situation. It's a little different at Michigan State because it's not protect the football program. It's not a win-at-all-cost issue, but still it was an institution either ignoring or not taking serious allegations. And in all these cases, really the impulse is protect the brand, protect the school, you know, brush it aside, over, let's really dig in on this and try to make it safe and hold people accountable and make things better. It's a consistent theme with all these situations like this. And it's just another reason that college sports is at times just hard to stomach.
It is, and I mean, you've got this story coming out at LSU, and you talk about Greg Marshall. We mentioned him a little bit earlier in the show at Wichita State. He announced that he's resigning as coach after multiple allegations of verbal and physical abuse against him. So you've got all different forms of abuse here, with some of these either coaches in power, alleged abuse of players on the team, and institutions essentially like just turning their eyes away from it and acting like it's not happening because it could affect the football program or in some cases the basketball program in a negative way. And it really does show at times just how ugly college sports can be and the power and how much money these athletes, these programs bring in. Sometimes people turn blind eyes to just incomprehensibly bad things. And that's, I mean, that's been a problem in college sports for a long time. And it makes you wonder, like, are you ever going to get to a place where you can get away from this stuff, given how much money is involved here? I mean, it should be simple. No matter how much money is involved, that you do the right thing as a decent human being and report some of these things and take action on some of these things. But obviously, and it's not just LSU, this has happened all throughout the country, and it continues to be a problem in college sports.
It does. And I think it's, I think the answer is, my answer would be no, because it's big business. I mean, this is, if these weren't public universities that we cared about because we watched the sports, you know, you could make this a part of corporate America, and some of the same things translate in terms of, you know, accountability. And again, sort of the overarching thing of protect our brand, protect our money and situation versus, you know, if an individual has to be sacrificed here and there, well, that's just part of the, that's part of the deal, you know. And it's, and it is college sports, because college sports is big business. It's pro sports. And it's one thing that can easily be changed here is that we can stop, you know, going with this amateurism sham and allowing college athletes to benefit from their abilities and all their hard work, just like any other college student would be. That's, it's a separate discussion, but it's, this is, these stories are another reason for me that it, you know, frustrates me that that hasn't happened a long time ago. It is happening in some form, which is good.
And Ed Orgeron had comments earlier this week on the story that came out about USA Today, and basically what he said was, there's no place in our society, nor this campus, or our football program for any behavior of this type. When accusations are made, we have a legal and moral obligation to report every allegation to the university's Title IX office so due process can be implemented. I have in the past and will continue to take appropriate action and comply with reporting protocols. I have confidence today that the university is working to address our policies and processes when allegations arise. So again, that's the quote earlier this week from LSU coach Ed Orgeron.
Yeah, and you know, again, Orgeron gets the focus. He's the one who has to come out and talk about this. It is bigger than him. Still, he could have been more proactive here. You had several players who continued and apparently were not disciplined, who were accused of various, you know, sexual transgressions, including three who were accused of rape, who stayed on the team and you know, were not known to be punished.
Right.
So it's still on him some too. I mean, if you set a tone of absolute zero tolerance on things, then at least you are doing your part as a coach. The whole Title IX process and all that, again, that's mostly taken out of coaches' hands, and it should be.
Right.
And I think that's a positive development in the past decade or so versus how it used to be, when it was a lot easier for crap that happened at Baylor to happen. Baylor is an example of like old school, disgusting, let's interfere with alleged victims of assault and talk them out of, I mean, that was just awful. That's stuff that the Title IX setup should prevent from happening. But you can still, as a coach, be stronger against this stuff and not always make the choice that just benefits your football team.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Got a texture that says Tennessee had to settle their lawsuit for the same stuff. So that going back to the point of,
right,
this is all around college sports.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, in all these situations, again, I know some things about some stuff at Michigan State, and you talk to people about what this situation or that situation, and with Tennessee. I talked at the time in the summer of 2016 with some people in the know on that situation, and they said some of these cases, in my opinion, are very serious, and then some of them, like, we have our doubts about a couple of them, you know, and they were all lumped together in this one big thing. So, you know, obviously people sometimes jump to the whole, oh, who's trying to take advantage of someone or get money from someone if a pro athlete is accused of something serious. But basically the default has been don't believe the victim, blame the victim, shame the victim, and then people wonder why people are hesitant to report sexual assaults. That's why. So it's an awful, you know, situation here and a lot of other places. It's a very delicate situation. But overall, the way that we have handled it, and I, as a reporter who has covered some of these situations, I look back and don't like even how I wrote about them. I think we can do a lot better in that way.
As far as Greg Marshall is concerned, it's kind of a different situation here, but abuse the same way in the, you know, physical, verbal abuse, announcing that he resigns from Wichita State. Do you think Greg Marshall ends up anywhere else after all that went down?
I wouldn't think
pretty
so.
Pretty serious stuff.
Pretty serious stuff. But he gets his, you know, $7.75 million somehow after all that
amazing
stuff. Like, again, with everything, and you can tie this to, like, the Tennessee situation, and I mean, college sports, one of many things is just the money is incredible, and how could someone with all those things warrant a buyout?
Yeah.
I don't know, but he walks away with millions. And no, I don't think he'll coach again. I mean, sometimes you see someone pop up at a high school or something like that. Maybe he could be an assistant somewhere, but I think it would at least be some time before that were to happen.
When we come back, we'll be joined by Trent Dilfer, Lipscomb Academy head coach, former NFL quarterback. Looking forward to that conversation with him. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.